Josh Landis is director of Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. I asked him about the announcement today from Russia and Turkey.
Well, there are several things. One is they're both claiming that they have averted an invasion, at least for now, and that they're going to set up a demilitarized zone that is 15 to 20 kilometers wide that will be policed both by Turkish troops and Russian troops, and that the Al-Qaeda connected groups and HTS, this what used to be Nusra, have to be decommissioned and withdrawn from the region. And that's going to be the real challenge. It's not clear what happens to the other groups. There are many groups that are linked to Turkey now in what's called the National Liberation Front. Will they be permitted to stay? They have to give up their heavy weapons. So this is contingent on Turkey being able to get all the rebels to give up their heavy weapons, plus the jihadist rebels that haven't been cooperating with Turkey, to decommission. That's a, you know, that's a big job. So far, Turkey has been unable to do it. But everybody who wants to delay this invasion has been saying, you've got to give more time to Turkey to work on the rebels and to try to come to an understanding with them to lay down their arms.
What do you think of the feasibility of this plan, of this DMZ?
Well, it takes the pressure off for the time being. The entire international community has been demanding more time, that Russia give Turkey more time to work on these rebels. And that's what this does. So in a sense, what Russia is doing is throwing the hot potato back into Turkey's hands and saying, okay, we're not obstructionist here. We're not bloodthirsty. We understand there's a dilemma, but you have to fix the situation. What is the end game? Still unclear, because Assad has said he's going to take back every inch of Syrian territory, and Russia said that they would help him do that. So this all, at least today, seems like an interim situation in which Turkey has to do a lot of the heavy lifting. Now, of course, Russia has to get Syria to call off the dogs and to not invade, even though they say that they're ready to do it. So that's the situation today. We're going to see how this works out and whether this is just posturing by all sides in order to delay a little bit.
Why would Turkey want to do this?
Because there are three, what we're hearing is there are 3 million people in this little province. They're all bottled up there. It's been the dumping ground for all these rebels. If Syria and Russia move in and take this back, there's going to be a flood of refugees. Jihadists will be scattered across Anatolia, and Turkey will be left holding the bag inside Anatolia, which would be terrible for it. It'd have to hunt these people down. Better for them to contain it in this small province, try to set up a demilitarized zone, protect them, and sort of contain the problem from a Turkish point of view so that it doesn't become a Turkish problem. It remains a Syrian problem.
If Bashar al-Assad were to win the battle against the rebels in Idlib, I mean, hasn't he basically won the war in Syria? So why blink now?
Because Russia is holding his arms, and because the world is threatening things. We don't know quite what. Assad is not finished with this. He's going to put the pressure on again. They're going to be in fractions. It's very unclear whether al-Qaeda types will get rid of their guns. They've said that they will not do it. That's been their line in the past. I don't know what's happened to change that. Obviously, Turkey, which is in communication with all these various rebel groups and jihadist groups, is going to have to lay down a law and tell them, look, it, if you really refuse now, or at the, you know, the 11th hour, if you refuse now, Syria's going to conquer you, and we're not going to stop them.
Can Russia make Assad comply with this deal?
I think that Russia can. And you know, Russia is telling Syria that at the end of the day, Syria is going to regain sovereignty over its territory. That's what Syria wants to hear. Syria can put it off for a few more months. This war has dragged on for 7 years. It doesn't have to happen tomorrow. But Syria does not want to see the country divided up between Turkey, United States, Kurds, so forth. That's what Assad has said he will not put up with. And he'll have to deliver on that sooner or later.
How is the U.S. going to view this deal?
I think the U.S. is sighing a big sigh of relief. It means that there isn't this massive refugee problem. Assad is restrained. Russia's in a whole heap of difficulties because it's got to try to deliver on this. And it puts the pressure on Turkey. And America's relations with Turkey have not been very good. America doesn't want to see these rebels scattered into Anatolia and perhaps Europe and other places. So this is good news for the United States. I think U.S. will be gratified, and I think that they have played a part in bringing this about by putting pressure on Russia and Assad not to do anything rash.
So if you're one of those civilians, like the family we just heard from in Idlib, you must also be breathing a sigh of relief, at least for a few months anyway.
Absolutely. And it's good news. It's good news because it means Turkey is remaining very actively present. Many of the civilians do not like the rebel groups. They certainly don't like the al-Qaeda rebel groups who've made their life fairly miserable and who are, you know, collecting money and so forth. Many of the civilians would like Turkey and the state of Turkey to play a much bigger role in the future in order to raise the quality of life, bring electricity, bring schools, and raise the standard of living in Idlib province. That's what they would like to see. There are others who would like Syrian government to restore sovereignty over the region. But for the time being, this is a great sigh of relief, and it's certainly going to relieve the pressure. But it doesn't solve the larger problem of what's going to ultimately happen to this province.
Josh Landis, Director of Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Thank you, as always.
A pleasure.